These are the voices of Rotary.
The voices that tell our stories.
The voices that share our why.
The voices that make our lives matter.
The voices that relieve suffering and anguish.
These are the voices of Rotary that change lives.
Take a listen.
These are stories of service above self. Rotary's highest honor recognizes individuals who personify Rotary's motto, service above self, by volunteering their time and talents in exceptional service to others. It is awarded annually by Rotary International based on nominations from district governors. Only a maximum of 150 nominations worldwide are considered, no more than one per district, and even fewer are actually selected each year. Since Rotary is recognized worldwide as a service organization, active in local and international communities, how individuals dedicate to service above self are making a difference in people's lives, are uplifting stories of interest, and an inspiration to others. This is part of a series bringing you stories about people of action who put service above self to make a difference. Frances Dixon was recognized with this very special Rotary Award as a true agent of change at the Virtual District Celebration in September 2020. Frances, welcome to the Voices of Rotary, where we share stories of service with fellow Rotarians and members of the community.
So, Adopt a Village in Guatemala has just celebrated 30 years, which is a long time for a nonprofit organization to remain active and relevant and make a difference in such a poor area. This service to Mayan children and families that Adopt a Village in Guatemala has rendered over the last 30 years. Now, looking back, and more importantly, looking forward, what are your hopes for them, let's say for the next decade and beyond that?
What I am seeing is much has been established. The infrastructure of our plans, our visions, our dreams is actually there. We have schools, they're built. We have teachers, some excellent teachers, and teachers that we've taken great pains to provide training to bring them to a point where they can give quality education to the kids, to encourage them to see the bigger picture, the real need of what a teacher is, that it's just not a teacher's salary and you show up maybe when you feel like it, but to really dig in and be part of this change for future, for the future lives of these kids. And that's there. That's established. So what I am seeing, for instance, for the next decade, is that we build on that. And how do we build on that? Well, right off the bat, I would say one avenue is to bring in the mix, incorporate technology. Technology in that area in education is virtually unknown. It almost does not exist. In the first place, you can't get an internet signal in those villages, so the schools don't have any internet. In the second place, the Guatemalan government decrees that if a school, like a middle school, is going to have computers, it's up to the parents to purchase them. Well, the parents, for the most part, are subsistence farmers. And to be honest, they can't even feed their kids half the time. But no, they are responsible for buying computers for the kids in the school. So what that means is that there's a scramble to find old, used, maybe reconditioned computers that don't last any time at all. And there's no one to service them, no one to keep them going. Once they kind of like run out of steam, well, then they're just packed away in some storage area, and it's back to point one. So to repeat, the technology is practically zero. So what does that really mean for kids going into the future? We all know that the world has changed, and it's changing every single day. And if Indigenous kids can't have any ability or training or learning in the computer field, where does that leave them? I strongly believe that technology has got to be part and parcel of the training so that kids can move along in life and have a better future. So we have instituted that whole concept of technology, and particularly since COVID began. That actually has been a tremendous turning point in the style of education that we're giving, because we've had to go virtual just like everybody in the world has. But we've had some difficulties that in many places don't exist. For instance, go into a village, no internet. Go into a village, no electricity. How can you manage a virtual learning program under those conditions? We've had to innovate, we've had to scramble, we've had to pull out all stops. What does that mean? Okay, for instance, yes, the smartphone is your major tool for virtual learning, but how do you charge it if there's no electricity? Okay, so we take a look at that. What do you know out there? Solar chargers are there to be purchased. So we get solar chargers to the kids and they can charge up their phone. But then what? So we provide computer tablets. Of course, they need to be charged. Well, that's solved. We've got the solar charger. But what about an internet signal? Now, there you can get just stopped cold. Now, the interesting thing about that region, and it is very, very mountainous, internet towers have been built all throughout those mountains. And it's possible to get a signal if you're in the right place or close enough to the tower. You can get a signal. But that's iffy. And in fact, when we began our virtual program, these kids were out hiking through the mountains virtually looking for a signal. However, just recently, we've been able to bring in internet boosters. We've taken them into the villages. We've tested them out. In every single case, 100% of cases, kids have been able to connect through that booster. This is revolutionary. This is not happening anywhere in Guatemala. This is first time. This is groundbreaking for our organization. And the fact that we have teachers who are willing and wanting to move into technology and use it for the benefits for the kids has been key in the success that we are experiencing right now. And you ask me about the next 10 years, Emily, I would say that we're going to see more and more and more of this, and we're going to have more families, parents, and kids excited, and they are. They're tremendously excited. Nobody else in the village has the system going that we do, and the news is spreading. And I think this is going to be paramount in seeing a change in education for the children that we are helping.
So by combining a rigorous academic curriculum with technical skills and some other skills, just basic life skills, perhaps leadership skills and so on, you've been successful in bringing all of this to this very remote area. Tell us about a success story, some child in whose life you've made a real difference and that you look back on with real sense of accomplishment.
You know, Emily, the first person that jumps into my mind when you ask me that question is a young woman. She's 21 years old. Her name is Isabel Ramirez. She came to us several years ago, just the year that we had opened our middle school. And so she stayed with us for a total of 4 years. She completed 2 years of her middle school with us and 2 years of our two-year accelerated high school program. Isabel, and she reminds me of this today in a recent conversation I had with her. She reminded me, you know, Francis, when I first came to Maya Jaguar, the name of our schools, I could hardly speak Spanish. And I said, really? Really? Isn't it? You know, I really kind of just didn't remember that. Is that true, Isabel? No, she said, I had a terrible time. I was always so nervous and I was scared. And sometimes I was just like, I just didn't even want to come anymore because I couldn't speak Spanish. I was having a hard time understanding the lessons. And I said, wow, but you speak so well now. Yes, she said, you know, I've learned. Now, this young woman was very special. For me, she was very special. She was serious about her education. She was determined to graduate from high school. There was no question with her. And as it happened, she graduated at the top of her class. And she was so good, so outstanding. I came back to the United States and approached some of our supporters. And this was unusual because really we focused in on the middle school and the high school training. It was beyond us really to do anymore. But in this case, I contacted some people and I told them the story of Isabel. And I said, you know, she's sharp. She wants to get ahead in life. She wants to be a productive member of her community. And she really wants to go into the computer field. And we were able to raise enough money to get her into a specialty computer academy and get her trained. Do you know that today she has come back to Maya Jaguar as our lead computer teacher? And I just see that as an incredible success story.
So by benefiting from this education and then a little extra help beyond, this has saved her from going back into poverty at her family's place, because she wouldn't have had any prospects otherwise. And it has enabled her to actually move beyond that, not have to marry and not have to work on a farm or whatever young women end up doing.
You're so right. And again, you know, when she and I talk and share ideas, as she told me, that when she completed her computer education, she went back to spend some time with her family and, you know, reconnected with her friends whom she'd gone to primary school with in her village. She told me every single one of them had married 15, 16 years old. Every single one had at least one child, and some of them had more. And she said, you know, they all look up to me. They're all so amazed at what I did. And she said, yes, of course. I mean, one day I want to be married. I want to have kids. But first, I want something more. So that's one girl's story. And there's other stories, particularly about girls, who really are the most discriminated against of all people in Guatemala. And we're seeing them coming out of our high school, going into training as nurses, as teachers, or in the case of Isabel, as computer in the technicians. So it's happening, but the change is almost, you know, one at a time. Isabel is an incredible example to the girls in her village, to the girls in her community in the region. And this is a change that's taking place and that will expand itself, as you asked me, in the coming decade, in the coming years.
So, in closing, do you have a message for like-minded people, people of action, like Rotarians, like other volunteers who serve their communities and try to make a difference in someone's life? What would be your message to them?
Well, when I think through that question, I recognize, you know, we're all individuals. We all come from different walks of life. We may have different philosophies, ways of looking at things. But those people who are truly interested in service, service above self, the rallying cry of Rotary International, will find an area that calls them, that compels them. My area was international. My calling has been to aid the indigenous people of Guatemala. But there's needs everywhere, as we know. There's needs right at home, right in our own neighborhood. And my message would be, is open yourself to service above self. It's so easy to just get caught up in the day-to-day self-interest. I mean, we're human beings, and that's kind of how it tends to be, the self-interest. Step above, step outside, step beyond that self-interest and look further. Help our planet in some way, be it small, be it large, but step outside yourself and you'll be well recompensed.
Thank you, Frances, for very inspiring words. But I have one last question for you. In your next life, who or what would you like to be?
I'd like to be exactly who I am.
When I think of Isabel, you know, I mean, she's one of the few people that I did meet, a few students, and she must just have blossomed with all of these things that she was able to do. I can't imagine that she's not one of the best role models ever.
She's a fantastic role model, and not just for girls. Believe you me, the boys are taking a look at what she's accomplished. And in fact, she is currently training two young men, but one is a real crackerjack, and he's very, very interested in the computer world. And she said he does excellent work. His work is really excellent. And she's the inspiration.
We hope the story of one individual recognizing a need in a community far, far away and launching into action over the next 3 decades to make a difference in people's lives will move you and inspire you to open yourselves up to service above self. This is Emily Francona. Stay tuned for more stories about people of action who put service above self.
Next time on Voices of Rotary.
Rotarians everywhere, every day, are taking action to create lasting change in our communities across the globe and indeed in themselves. Building personal relationships are at the heart of this, and Rotary's international travel exchange programs have built countless relationships that promote peace, goodwill, and understanding. Today, let's listen in as past District Governor Bill Grile talks with Dr. Lawrence Sateo about his experiences thanks to an exchange between Rotary District 3850 in the Philippines and District 5110 in Oregon.
There is so much need out there. Have you ever wondered how you can help? Join us for the journey at voicesofrotary.org.